Welcome to Mastering Logical Fallacies, the online course. This is the audio version of the online course presented at MasteringLogicalFallacies.com. For the complete learning experience, including multimedia presentations, quizzes, assignments, peer-to-peer discussion, instructor interaction, and more, enroll as a student at MasteringLogicalFallacies.com. My name is Beau Bennett, and I am your instructor for this course. In this lesson, we're talking about the red herring. The red herring is actually not a fish, not in this case at least. It's a fallacy when the opponent tries to distract from the argument at hand by raising another argument, or bringing up a point, or creating an ad hominem, or doing anything basically to distract from the argument at hand. And this is usually done when the opponent is losing, or if he or she realizes that he or she does not have a good answer to the question being asked, or cannot address the actual argument itself. Why would people do this? Well, because they don't want to look stupid. They don't want to acknowledge that their position has any weaknesses. And this is really basically how politics works, how debate works. You don't want to show your cards. You don't want to let people know that your position does have weaknesses and you are aware of the weaknesses. However, sometimes that may be a good strategy, and it really depends on who you ask and what your style of debate is. And I won't really get into that, whether you should acknowledge weaknesses or not in debate. But I do certainly want to say that when it comes to science and how science works, you do want to acknowledge weaknesses and you do want to acknowledge problems. And that is a major difference between politics and debate and science and debate, scientific debate. Because in science, you are out for the truth. You're trying to look at a situation as objectively as possible. You're not supposed to have any strong feelings one way or the other. You're really just supposed to get to the facts of the matter, and that's the scientific process. Whereas in debate and in argumentation, a lot of times you're emotionally motivated and you're just trying to support your position. And that's when the red herrings come out, and that's when people throw them out because they don't want to go down the rabbit hole of exposing a weakness and talking about that weakness, which could ultimately destroy their argument. Now, I'd like to offer some tips on what you can do to prevent red herrings from occurring when you're involved in a debate or argumentation. One idea is that you need to keep track of the questions that you're asking, and don't give up until those questions are satisfactorily answered. If you are having a debate with somebody remotely and you're doing it over the phone or over the internet or over Skype or something, it could be easy to write down your questions. Ask the questions, and then once they are answered to your satisfaction, check them off and move on to the next one. However, in a debate where you're actually speaking with somebody person to person and you don't have a computer in front of you or a notepad or anything, you can't necessarily write down all the questions, but you could just remember the questions. Remember the questions that you're asking and check them off your mental checklist once they have been answered. Along the same lines, you want to avoid asking multiple part questions when possible. Stick to very simple questions, single questions, simple questions, because it is much harder for somebody to throw a red herring in there and take the argument another way without answering a direct question. It has been done. Some people are very good at doing that, but it is very difficult. And the audience or anybody listening on to the argument or the debate, they will be able to catch on because they are listening to the question. They hear the question, and what they're expecting is an answer to that question. And if they don't get it, then an alarm's going to go off in their heads as well, and they're going to see the red herring for what it is. Now, there are many very slick people out there who can answer questions but not really answer them. They will provide an answer that doesn't answer the question but answers something else, and it sounds really good, And you're kind of confused. You're thinking, wait a minute, was that answered or not? And they make you feel in such a way where if you question the answer, then you're going to look stupid because you didn't understand them in some way. And that could even throw in the argument from gibberish in there, because they may just go on gibbering away and throwing in a whole bunch of technical terms and acronyms and so forth. And you might be thinking, am I supposed to know this stuff? If I am, and I question them about not answering the question, and they come back to me and say, what are you talking about? I answered it. Then I could look stupid. So I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say, oh, okay, and move on. So you don't want to do that, obviously. If you do not understand the question, admit it. Use candor and say, you know what? I apologize. Maybe I'm supposed to know what you just said, but I don't. Or maybe I was a little bit distracted, or I got lost in the middle there. Can you repeat that in different words and tell me how, and then repeat the question? That's a good technique as well. So it's not going to make you look stupid. It's going to make you look honest, because we all get lost sometimes, especially when people give long, convoluted answers. The final thing I would like to talk about is how to respond when somebody throws out a red herring, when somebody tries to change the conversation and take it in a new direction where you don't want it to go because it's off topic. How do you respond to that? Well, there's a couple ways you could do it. First, you could say something like, well, you know, that's an interesting question and point you have there, and let's get back to that. But first, can you answer the question and then repeat the question? So acknowledge that they do have a valid point or a valid question, or acknowledge that what they want to talk about is interesting and should be discussed, but simply do not agree to take the conversation in that direction at that point in time. It's a very reasonable play, and it makes you sound good as well, and keeps you in control of the conversation and the debate. Now, if they said something that is really off topic, or they're trying to take the conversation in a direction where you just don't want it to go because it doesn't belong in that direction, then you could call them out on this fallacy directly. And it depends on how the conversation is going and the tone of the conversation. And if you want to call them out and say, look, you're pulling a red herring here, and you want to be direct and you want to kind of make them look a little stupid, then that's an okay strategy. And it may be perfect for certain situations. However, if the conversation didn't get to that point yet, or the debate didn't get to that point, and it's still a friendly exchange of ideas, then perhaps the best way to respond to somebody trying to take the conversation in another direction is saying something like, can you explain how that's relevant here? And don't say it sarcastically, but say it honestly. Like, can you explain how that's relevant to the situation or to the conversation? And let them try to establish relevance of their point to the conversation at hand. And if they could, well, that's great. You don't look stupid, because you just didn't understand something and they explained it. And then you could take it in that direction, or you could pull that first point and say, hey, okay, that's great. Now let's get back to that. But first, and you could use them in combination. Great techniques.